Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse numbered 15 through verse 20. As always, if it helps you to follow along, I invite you to do that. Or if you find that following along is distracting, I would invite you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. From Matthew chapter 18. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen to even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, we are excited about the opportunity to be gathered this morning. And we have gathered today because we need to hear a word from you. So now, Holy Spirit, we ask that as you always do, that you would once again pour yourself out on us. That once again, you would take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words that I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire them, breathe life into them. Make them come alive for us, so that we might hear in them the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Try to get all my paperweights in order here. So when I was growing up, it seemed that my mother was very concerned about my hearing. Actually, both myself and my brother. I have a brother who's 14 months younger than I am, and then I have a sister who's 6 years younger, and another sister who's 12 years younger. So my brother and I kind of grew up together, and the girls came along sort of separately. So when I was Mark and I were growing up, My mom would ask us a lot about our ability to hear, and it kind of went like this. We'd be doing what we're doing, playing together, fighting, whatever it was, and mom would come in and say, "Hey, I need you to do whatever." And we would just continue to do what we'd been doing before. And then after a bit, mom would come in and say, "Did you hear me?" And that happened a lot. And the reason she was checking on our hearing was because she was of the opinion that if we had heard her, that we would do what she said. We start out in this 15th verse, where Jesus tells the disciples what to do if someone sins against them, right? And it starts out, you know, and said, if someone sins against you, and I always want to stop there and go, what do you mean if? What do you mean if? How about when someone, my great aunt Laura is quoted as having said, if you have two people and they agree on everything, one of them ain't necessary. So it's not so much if someone sins against us, but when someone sins against us. Now, there is, of course, a big difference between someone disagreeing with you and someone sinning against you. Right? Those two things are not the same. And so Jesus starts out here. So if a member of the church, a brother or a sister, sins against you, then what you do is you go ahead and talk to your friends and complain about what they did. And then you get on social media, Facebook and Twitter, and you let everybody know what kind of a jerk they are. And then if it happens again, then you go to human resources, and if anybody disagrees with you, they're evil. Oh, wait, that's not what Jesus said, is it? That's not what Jesus says at all. And because what Jesus says is if someone sins against you, it's almost as if that Jesus thinks that if we're really brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to go out of our way to not sin against one another. But if that happens, then you go and talk to one another. You take that person aside privately. And you talk to them. And if they hear you, if they listen to you, you have regained your brother, your sister. Right? The whole point of this exercise is reconciliation. That's what this is all about, that we would be reconciled to one another. Now, I need to stop for a second and apologize, because I sent files to Jeff under the wrong name, and so what you have printed in the bulletin are the notes for the sermon I preached for the online service. So if you find those notes interesting, you can go ahead and listen to the podcast or worship online for part two. That's not really meant to be a blatant commercial. But what I want you to remember about this is that the whole point of the exercise, Jesus tells us, the whole point of the exercise is reconciliation. It's what Jesus came to do. And it's what Jesus wants us to do with each other. But if, when you're listened, if you are not listened to, right? And this is, there are a number of commentators, of scholars, who think that Matthew is a gospel that was shaped largely by the Jewish tradition. And so over and over again, we see and hear the speaking to folks who had grown up in the practice of Judaism, who were familiar with Hebrew idioms. And one of those idioms is listened to, Shemaleh. You know, one of the great prayers of all of the Old Testament, part of what is the precursor to half of the Great Commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. That prayer starts out, Shema Yisrael, Shema Adonai, Adonai Elkenu, Adonai Echad. Shema, listen to. And just like my mom, when God says listen, the expectation is that the job of listening isn't done until we actually do something about it. So, if your brother or sister listens to you, then reconciliation has occurred, which is what this whole process is all about. But if that doesn't happen, then the second thing you do is you talk to each other. Then you get some folks to come with you who are familiar with the situation. And again, this is straight up Old Testament stuff. In Deuteronomy, it says, if you're going to bring an accusation against somebody, it can't be just one person. You need at least two or three witnesses. So if you go to somebody and you talk with them privately, and that doesn't resolve the situation, if that doesn't create reconciliation, then you go and get some folks who are familiar with the situation, and you bring them in, and they try to help you, again, so you can be reconciled. But if that doesn't work, then the third thing that you do is you go and talk to each other. Or then you get the whole fellowship involved. Now, this is so important. Reconciliation is so important that we're going to get just everybody involved and hope that we can get this worked out. Now, I believe that Jesus' hope was that the number of times that you had one-on-one conversations would be kind of small. The number of times that you had to have the two or three person conversations would be even smaller yet. And that the number of times that you had to get the whole church involved would be very, very, very few. Not because we're not talking to each other, but because we're being reconciled. Now, it also has to be said that this process that Jesus lines out here works exceptionally well when everybody involved agrees who's been sinned against. So when it's clear who has been sinned against and who has done the sinning, when that is clear and everybody agrees on that, this process works well. But at least in my humble experience, that doesn't happen really often. I mean, it does sometimes. But more often what happens is, well, you sinned against me. Well, I think you sinned against me. And then we need to look at it a little differently. And now is the blatant plug for the second half of the sermon. But the thing I want to leave you with is where this piece of scripture ends. I want to leave with verse 20. Because the thing about this whole process is that nobody likes any of it. Nobody likes to be in a position where they have been sinned against. Nobody likes to be in a position where they have sinned against someone. Nobody likes to be in a position where you need to go and talk with a friend, a brother, a sister. And nobody likes to be in the position where somebody comes and says, hey, I need to talk to you about something. We don't like that at all. We don't like it because not only is it uncomfortable, it's difficult. But what Jesus says is that when we're gathered in His name, when we're working on trying to accomplish this reconciliation, to restore relationships that are broken, when we're trying to do that, if we're doing it in Jesus' name, He's there among us. And so He doesn't ask us to do this stuff that's difficult, this stuff that's painful, this stuff that we just don't like to do. He doesn't ask us to do that on our own, with our own wisdom, with our own resources. He promises that He will be with us in those moments. And so as we celebrate this morning, the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that Jesus is with us. And so we can dare to do things that are hard. We can dare to do things that are uncomfortable because we are not by ourselves. Christ is with us. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace. Amen. Go in peace to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. Grace to you and peace from Him who is, and was, and is to come. Amen and amen.